Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. It is Thursday evening, February 16th, a little before 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and this is the Hoops HD Bracket Rundown Show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by David Dorman and John Tytel, down below by John Salica, and joining us back again from Bracketeer.org, we have Rocco Miller. And good news for everybody, no puppet tonight. If you saw last night, he went completely off the rails at the end of the show. We have banned him from the show at least for the rest of this week. Well, maybe we'll let him back in next week. We'll see. But we're gonna do a show without him, and I don't think we've ever done one. And so that might be a little bit of a relief here, maybe. But what we're doing tonight is our bracket rundown show. What I did is I asked all of our panelists, everybody that's on the show, Griggs as well, our good friend Mike Cha, Matt Sikowski, Joby Fortes, and they all submitted as well. Everybody submitted their list of the top 55 teams of the nation, regardless of conference. I then took those lists, cross-country scored them, came up with a consensus seed list, added in the single-bid conference teams at the end, based on my own selection, sorry guys, bracketed it up, and we're going to be revealing that bracket kind of Selection Sunday style here this evening. One of the things I will note, first of all, is that these brackets were all as of the beginning of the day today, and of course, we picked the absolutely wrong day to do this, as we've had major upsets crazy tonight, and what wasn't supposed to be that busy of a night. Biggest one being Purdue just went down, lost at Maryland. Florida Atlantic, who we will be discussing some tonight, just suffered there a loss at Middle Tennessee. Also saw a few conference leaders such as Liberty, Fairleigh Dickinson, and lose, and Southern Miss getting blown out as we record this. None of
Wow.
those factored in, but we will, in fact, at least discuss some of those scores and discuss how that might affect the bracket when we do it. But I thought we'd start things off with one of our old-time favorites here that we always like to do on these shows, and that is maybe a little blind resume before we get into the actual brackets. And I've got a pair of resumes up here that, surprisingly, when I look at these first glance, I think they're fairly close. And it might be surprising that they were not fairly close in our actual seed list, but Tytel, I saw you clapping. I'll give you your first call here. Who do you like better, left, right, or are they just dead even?
Oh, I'm the worst at this. The things that stand out on the right is the tier four loss, obviously, and not that there's a lack of tier one wins, but they're both on the road, which I know some people on this show like, which explains why the team on the left is a bit of a home court hero in terms of 13 and 0 at home and 5-8 away from home. So I think that it is close, like you said. I will go with the team on the left because of the tier four loss. But if that is the tier four loss I'm thinking of that was due to a star player being injured early in the year, then I reserve the right to change my mind.
Okay, it might not have been. And you actually can see the date on the loss there. I did not hide the dates, so not that early in the year. It may not be the team you're thinking of, but Dorman, let me ask you, do you agree with him, team on the left, and that these may be close?
I think they're real close. I do agree with Tytel. I would go with the team on the left, a little of a home court hero. I think I might know the team on the left, but yes, I agree with Tytel. Team.
Rocco, you want to throw your two cents here as well? Maybe take the first guess at who the two teams are. You probably know these already, right?
I usually can. I'm taking a deep dive here. But yeah, I think it's clearly a couple teams that don't get, I don't know, extreme bubble, power conference teams, maybe like a Wake Forest-ish and Utah type.
Okay, Sleek, give you a guess here
Ish.
also, and then we're going to see how close Rocco was.
Yeah, I definitely know the team on the right is not going to be a team that Joby will take, for example. So should I go ahead and take a stab at this one?
Okay, go ahead. Who are your two?
I'm
Who do
going
you
to
think
guess
there?
Bo I'm going to guess Boise State on the right because I remembered on Monday saying that number three team in the net seemed a little bit high.
I gotta congratulate. So this may be my best job of stumping you guys with a pair of blue bloods. We
West
got
Virginia.
Duke on the left and Kentucky on the right here.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Oh,
Not
that's
even.
net, not RPI.
And does that almost shock you here that you guys all kind of thought these profiles were close when I'll tell you that we're going to see Duke in white this evening. We're not going to see Kentucky wearing white on the top half of the bracket. Although Kentucky's win at Mississippi State, I think really changed that profile last night. Tytel?
It did. It was one of the more bubblicious games we've had all season, both because of the recency, but also because they're both right on the bubble. I do remember the South Carolina loss being a major factor at the time and will continue to be throughout the year. And I recall the puppet explaining how Duke is a home court hero. So the pieces are starting to fill in.
Yeah, and Dorman, not a lot of love for that Duke profile when you look at it without the D-U-K-E on the top, is there?
Not at all. The ACC is weak. I think that brings the numbers down. I agree with you, Chad. When you take some of these names away, Duke doesn't look all that great on paper.
All right, let's go ahead and get to our bracket itself here. And this is the blank bracket that we're going to be filling in. We're going to start by going one team at a time with the top 16 teams. And we're going to actually, by doing this, preview what you're going to see from the real selection committee on Saturday, who's going to be showing their top 16 teams, much the way we're going to start this show off. But we will start with the number one team from the cross-country scoring of everybody's brackets. And it was not unanimous at all this week. It was the San Jose State Spartans.
Yes, I will be there tomorrow, Chad.
I think Griggs got in here somewhere. Let me fix this here. All right. It was Alabama came in at number one. A little bit more sense there, I think. Yeah, Alabama coming in at number one despite the loss to Tennessee. Salika, do you agree with that? That Alabama, despite the recent loss, got number one spot on more brackets than anybody else here.
I took a closer look at the top of both profiles right here. I figured even if Purdue were to win tonight, which turned out not to be the case, I think Alabama had actually done enough both home and away to justify staying at number one. I mean, there's no real punishment or shame for losing at Tennessee, but if you're Purdue where you're suddenly losing back-to-back games against Northwestern and now Maryland, it's going to be a bit of a step back.
Yeah, a bit of a step back, but if you look at it, Alabama versus Purdue here, Dorman, they're even in losses now, and I don't think that, maybe Purdue's loss is slightly worse, but not that much worse, are they?
No, not that much worse. I agree with Stalika now. Alabama, those tier one road wins blows me away. So I agree with Stalika at this point. Alabama is fit. Before tonight, I think it was much tighter. Now with the Maryland loss, I really like that Alabama resume with all the road wins.
Right. And it's no surprise, Purdue did come in at number two. Is there a case now, Tytel, that Purdue with this loss at Maryland drops even further than this?
Yes, because I think that Kansas and Houston are playing great. Houston had a huge win tonight. Kansas had a nice win yesterday, I believe, earlier this week against Texas. I mean, these teams are good, and it's not like a huge thing to lose on the road to Tennessee, a top 10 team. Excuse me, for Purdue to lose to Maryland, if not top 25 team, certainly yeah. Top 50, but it certainly will hurt their profile, and I think the two teams that you're showing now are both solid.
So you think there's a – ooh, I'm sorry, wrong screen there. You think there's a good chance Purdue falls. Rocco, could they fall off the one line entirely with this, or are they still that hot? Are they still up there at least?
Yeah, I think they're still a one seed. I don't think there's too much risk there quite yet. I do think, the Kansas-Purdue comparison is pretty interesting now. Kansas has 11 wins against the field to Purdue's 8, and I think – you look at the Kansas road wins at Mizzou, at Oak State, at Kentucky, at West Virginia, to only Purdue's one at Michigan State. Now, Purdue's got three great neutral wins, but Kansas has two. I like the true road wins a little bit more. But at the same time, there's a lot of different things to compare. And Kansas gets more opportunities, let's be honest. They've played 17 Q1 games, and Purdue's played 13. So it's not apples to oranges or apples to apples comparison. So I think it takes some deeper analysis. Potentially, Kansas could overtake them, but I don't have enough. I didn't have enough time to study it, so the game just ended.
and I'll tell you that coming in at number three was that Kansas team we just discussed here. It is just such an impressive record. That's one of the biggest Q1s I think I've ever seen, quite honestly. Not just this season, but in any year out there. And five of those being those quad 1A wins. You know, there might be a little bit of a fake, at least that Oklahoma road win might be dropping down a level here unless Oklahoma can pick up another win or two, and I don't know if they can. But on the other hand, Oklahoma State moving up, that may end up being a quad 1 win by the end of the year. So number 4 overall was the team that's actually going to be the number 1 team in the polls here come Monday, as long as they win this weekend. That is Houston. Tytel, why is Houston not higher than this? Why shouldn't Houston now be, you know, I get it's, the polls are different, are, you know, have nothing to do with actual resumes, but this Houston team has only lost twice all season. One of those was to Alabama, and they just, they're crushing everybody they play.
They didn't crush our favorite mascot tonight, the Owls, unfortunately, last month, and the strength of schedule reflects that. Not that Purdue's non-conference strength of schedule is light years ahead, because it ain't, but I think it's just the, we talk about recency bias. This is big conference bias that, like, when you're playing, when your biggest game left is Memphis and Purdue has four games left in the top 80, like, I think it's kind of a predictive thing that they're going to go ahead, even though Houston's predictors are good. They assume that they're going to win out, which they might. If Houston played in a bigger conference and had tougher opponents and was 24-2, they would be the best team in the country, but they're not.
Okay, but you know, when you know, the net, for example, they are number 1 in the net. They have the number 3 adjusted offense, the number 6 adjusted defense. All the metrics say that this is the best team in the nation. And when you play in unfair conferences, Rocco, shouldn't you look at the metrics a little bit to try to balance things out? And I can come out to confess right now, I put Houston number 1 overall. I did.
I think you could actually make a case because there's such limited information that you could go that direction. And you know, we all like road wins, and Houston's 10-0 in their road games, making 11-0 after tonight, actually. So nobody else is undefeated on the road anywhere in the country. So you know, I think that helps them a little bit more. But I do think, you know, one thing you can point it back to is Houston decided to host a really small event with Texas Southern and Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts obviously ended up being a pretty good game, but it's at home. Instead of going to one of the big events that they could have probably gotten invited to, like what Arizona played in, like what Alabama played in, where they did pick up a lot of key wins. I think it's key for like the Houstons and the Gonzagas of the world that aren't in the Power Five yet. Houston will be next year. To play those extra games and prove themselves at that level, because let's just imagine if Houston had beat Kansas in like the championship game of Battle for Atlantis, we wouldn't probably have to have so many debates about where they belong.
Okay, but I mean, as long as they keep winning, I don't think there's any debate that they will be on the one line. It's just
right, and that's all that really matters. As long as you get that right,
playing Oral Roberts is actually pretty good for your metrics,
and
it is. But they were at home, so you know.
And if you say, if you want to talk about maybe preferred region, as you can see up here, you know, Vegas is probably their preferred region to begin with anyhow. And right now it's fallen to the fourth region up there. So, you know, in terms of where do we send them, you know, maybe, you know, if, for example, if Alabama falls to number 4 overall, they're not going to get to go to Louisville. They're going to have to go somewhere else in all likelihood. So,
yeah, the interesting thing is between Houston, Alabama, and Kansas, they all prefer Kansas City as closest. Actually, no, I'm sorry, Alabama's Louisville, but Houston and Kansas would do Kansas City. So if you're having a hard time as a committee deciding between, you know, let's say Kansas and Houston are 3 and 4 or 2 and 3, I think the shoe-in would just be to send Kansas to Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that much of a difference.
And put them higher.
Yeah, but Houston, Kansas City, Houston, Las Vegas, not that much different. I'm a Houston fan. I'd rather go to Vegas, honestly. You know, no offense. moving into number 5 overall, you see it is in the West region there down the bottom row. Number 5 overall is the Texas Longhorns. I don't know if this was much of a surprise, Dorman. I think that it was almost unanimous that they were right about here.
Perfect spot for them. I completely agree. Exactly where they should be.
One of the more interesting things here, both Birmingham pods gone already. They're going to Denver, start to chew up pods that a certain team from Arizona might want to be going to. As we go to our number 6 overall team, Sleeka, it's Baylor who, just stole that second Denver spot. Really hurting an Arizona team that wanted to go to Denver for the first two rounds.
It's weird because pods out west are usually – places where teams in the East usually get stuck when their preferred locations get eaten up. Of course, now Arizona's probably going to end up taking Sacramento from someone out West.
Yeah, but how about this Baylor team, Tytel, red hot lately? And they've been flying up the seed lists the last few weeks here.
As they should. No bad losses, tons of tier one, several road wins, great nets, great strength of schedule, best offense in the country. I mean, they're not a one seed just yet, but they're certainly trending upward, as they say. And I don't know what's more impressive, three teams from Texas in our top six or three teams from the Big 12 in the top six. Both very impressive to me.
Yeah, Baylor, heck of a next two games, at Kansas State. And then you throw it home and it gets Texas after that. They win the three of those. I think they may be a one seed case here. It'll be interesting. You got to see what other teams do, but among other things, you will see a Kansas loss. So let's move into number seven overall here. Rocco, it is Arizona who, because of the way the math worked out here, doesn't get to go to Denver where they want to go. They got to go a little further. They got to go to Sacramento.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would have Arizona a little bit higher than this. I would have them fifth overall. I'm really impressed with not only winning the Maui Invitational, but obviously that Indiana win that they got in Vegas has aged pretty well for the most part. And their five hardest games, they're 5-0. I get it. Their four losses are all to non-tournament teams right now, which is very strange. But overall, you look at the body of work, I think Arizona's built what would usually be considered a one seed or close to a one seed profile. And again, didn't get the opportunities that you get in the Big 12. So even though Baylor's got also 5-1A wins and 8 wins against the field, their winning percentage is nowhere near as good as Arizona's.
I'll tell you, Rocco, I've got two issues with Arizona why I rigged them a little lower. Number one, recency bias. I just saw them lose at Stanford the last time they were out. And number two, they don't have a true road win against anybody that's going to be in this field. They got those two chances at the end of the year at USC, who's a bubble team, and at UCLA, who's clearly in the field. But that's why I think that, you know, number five overall, my opinion was a little too high for them, but I did still have them on the two line here. Stalica, number eight overall, is that other Pac-12 team, UCLA, also going to get to Sacramento the way this bracket worked out?
Well, the sub-regional would be their natural location in Sacramento right here. Of course, the way things were shaking up on the two line, you got to wonder if the Bruins deep down would have loved to sink to the three line just to end up in the West right here. Of course, the only exception would be if Arizona were already there, which is not the case.
Yeah, but how about the way this UCLA team is playing Tytel? That, you know, four wins in a row now. They just had that. I guess it was the loss at USC that they had. Against the Arizona and USC losses, pretty darn good lately.
It is. My Wildcats couldn't win in Eugene, so props to UCLA for doing it. Although that's soon becoming a tier two, and I fear the way the Ducks are playing, which is a whole separate story. Coach Cronin's got them going solid. A bit of a home court hero at 13-0, but again, they've been decent on the road, if not good. And no bad losses. So I think they're slotted right here. And I like that, as you mentioned, we have a big Baylor-Kansas game coming up. And then here, the regular season finale, where the Bruins travel to Tucson in their Pac-12 send-off. It's nice to see that there's still fluidity with all these teams. We mentioned the best teams in the country, and they're still playing each other multiple times.
Now, aren't they scheduled for one more year in the Pac-12? I think they are.
No. Yes. Yeah.
They're dead to me already. It
doesn't okay. Okay. It's their send off anyhow. How will that?
I can relate to that. Yes.
Rocco, number nine overall, starting the three line here. This is in the Midwest region, going to go to Greensboro, Tennessee, falling down to the three line. Suffer a bad loss. You turn around, you beat Alabama at home after two bad losses, actually.
Yeah, Tennessee's an interesting case. You know, they're starting to finally pile up some wins against the field. That was their big problem before. I think that, the road win over Mississippi State that they accumulated earlier in January now looks like another win against the field for the time being. So sitting at eight, Obviously, another win against Quad 1A is super helpful when you're looking at these elite seed lines like the 2 line or the 1 line. But I think, you know, the losing record on the road against the top two quads, 2 and 3 in those 5 chances. Again, we're splitting hairs. I think right now for me, for the last 2 spots on the 2 lines, Tennessee, UCLA and Baylor are all very, very tough to differentiate. But I do have Tennessee just barely above Baylor for the number 8 overall. So right in this area. And I think some of that just comes down to trying to break ties. I think part of the committee might tend to lean towards these predictive numbers for a seeding discussion. And Tennessee's still coming in right there next to the number 4 average. They are average of 4, and UCLA is under 4. So some of that helps break the tie.
Right. There's that Tennessee versus Baylor debate, even though as a committee, we voted Baylor a little bit higher. A couple of people actually that did not make it onto this show tonight had them up at the top of the 2 line, which kind of probably pushed it. That's the way a committee works, though, is that
exactly.
One person has a team at the top of the 2 line, another person has the top of the 3 line. They end up somewhere in the middle of the 2 line. They don't. But let's keep things rolling here. Dorman, number 10 overall. Is Virginia here, our first ACC team, getting to play in Greensboro at least? That's a rarity for anyone not named Duke out of the ACC.
Or North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yes. To me, they're the cream of the crop in the ACC. They're playing really good basketball. They slipped up against Virginia Tech. That's a rough rivalry on the road. If you look at the remaining schedule, anything besides at North Carolina would look bad, but I think Virginia is trending, and Virginia could easily be a 2 seed by Selection Sunday.
I'll tell you that the way North Carolina's been playing lately, the game at loss at North Carolina might be bad also.
But if they do the double, I think you'll see them on the 2 line.
Right, and our committee as a whole, then you know that. That was Virginia coming in at number 10 there. At number 11 overall here, Stalika. In the East region, we had Kansas State. This is now our fourth Big 12 team. It required a little bit of teams having to move around and not quite go where they prefer to go because they had to be in a region that did not have a Big 12 team in it yet for bracketing purposes here. But Kansas State did get up to the 3 line. I think a few of us had them down on the 4.
Feel like they're going down to the 3 line given their slide of late right here. And I know we've already touched on Baylor being one of their upcoming games. That's going to be a critical game for the Wildcats right here. Iowa State hasn't been as great on the road. That's a little more winnable. But Oklahoma State, that's going to be a dangerous game. And West Virginia also going to be a lot of desperation on the Mountaineers' part for K-State to try to hang on to a protected seed right here.
Yeah, back-to-back losses tied tell, and you know they've got to right the ship quickly here in the toughest conference in the nation.
I was going to say, thank God they only have to deal with Iowa State and Baylor.
Yeah. But Ty, let me stick with you here, get back to the bracket and finish off the 3 line here. This will be the West region, Texas potential regional semifinal. And there is Marquette, our first Big East team, all the way up to the 3 line. They weren't a protected seed for us just a few weeks ago. Now they're all the way up to the 3 line.
Good week when you beat Xavier, as Stalika knows. Went right down to the wire and so close, but held on at home. Non-conference strength of schedule is not great, but plenty of tier one wins. If they had beaten Wisconsin in overtime back in the day, this could be like a 2 seed team, but this is not the year to lose to Wisconsin, and a huge game coming up at Creighton on the 21st.
Yeah, that's looking like the game of the season now. Now that the Marquette Xavier games are done, Stalika, sorry, but Creighton's a red hot team also we're going to be talking about very soon here, I think.
Yeah, they're both going to be red hot right here. That's going to be tough for Marquette, although I will give them credit. If they are able to win that one, they pretty much have a completely wide path to the Big East title in that play. In that instance, but if they lose that game, it's still going to be wide open.
Rocco, can this Marquette team move up another line here?
They could. You know, they have 5 wins against the field. All of them are at home. And I think that's my biggest problem when comparing them to Kansas State or the Zags. who I still have above them just barely, is they've done some significant damage away from home, both of them. You know, Kansas State obviously has – they have a really interesting profile. They in their seven top two tier road games, they've won their two hardest ones, and then they lost 3 through 7, including Butler, by double digits. So Kansas State – and then obviously Kansas State's recent play has kind of dropped off in the past week. So, again, that shouldn't matter. But overall, they're slipping, and Marquette looks great. But, again, Marquette's got to go get a road win. I like Seton Hall, Villanova, St. John's. Those are not easy places to win, but none of them are in the field yet. So that's where I'm having my issue there.
Did you not say that Georgetown is not an easy place to win, though, huh?
it is not easy. Not yes.
Where are we? Dorman, number 13 overall, starting out the four line here. Here is yet another Big 12 team. We've got Iowa State coming in here. This is another team, though, that we're starting to talk about some Big 12 teams that are kind of been slipping a little bit lately. Did bounce back with the win this past week, though.
Yes, they did. So they're looking a little better. I had a Big East team, I believe, right ahead of them. But as Mr. Titel would say, I have a veto. It's tough to place all these Big 12 teams in this area. There's a bunch of them here, and then you have other teams from other conferences, and the comparisons get a little tricky. So I understand their placement here. I would have had another team ahead of them, but I'm good with it.
Okay, well, number 14, the team that was right behind them here, Stalika, is your Xavier Musketeers. Maybe a little recency bias knocked them down a bit just because we just saw them lose a game that they really blew last night. No offense.
We already knew about the Zach Freemantle injury. There was another wrench thrown into last night where Desmond Claude, who had been a reserve point guard, he was ill. He was told not to make the trip. And Cam Kraft was another reserve who blew out his knee. So thanks to a short bench, maybe a happy accident in some ways, we probably saw a preview of what you would typically expect out of a Sean Miller team, maybe a little more of a rock fight that Marquette initially wasn't prepared for, but Xavier just ran out of gas at the end of that one. You still feel hopeful in that they can at least win out most of their remaining games until Freemantle returns. I still think the big ones coming up are going to be at Seton Hall, but if all goes well, hopefully he's back in time for the game at Providence, which their NCAA seed appears to be a lot more secure than last year. But in terms of chasing the Big East title, getting those two wins on the road would keep some pressure on Marquette.
Yeah, and obviously you've got the Big East tournament as well. You're having him back for that chance to pick up a couple more big wins there. Titel, number 15 overall. Here's another Big East team. We've got UConn back in our Sweet 16 over there in the South region.
Their win over Marquette recently looks very good. They still are chugging along here. Bit of a home court hero, only 4-5 on the road. Winnable schedule. They could win out. Unlike Stalika Xavier team, they get to host Providence. I will not remind him of Providence's home record over the past 36 games because it's pretty daunting. That win over Alabama is still looking fantastic. I think this is the right spot for them. And if they didn't lose to St. John's by double digits at home, I think we would be talking about them a whole seed line higher maybe.
Yeah, I'll put it to you this way, Titel. There have been more leaks in the roof at the Amp than there have been Providence losses in the past couple of years.
I was going to say, Dorman, it's kind of interesting. We've got a team that's only 8-7 in conference here. We're talking about them as a protected seed, but they didn't lose outside of conference at all.
No. But the conference, there's some teams I really like. But the bottom, there's just a lot of spots where you should be able to pick up wins. Their one fall, like mentioned, was St. John's. Against the field, though, like they said, Creighton, Alabama, Marquette. There's some just – the resume is really strong. I like them here or even a slot better. And I think they'll finish strong with that schedule. I like UConn right here in this spot.
Rocco, they did make our Sweet 16 barely. I know you don't agree with it. You had them a whole seed line higher. The Zags coming in number 16 overall there in the West region. You want to defend them and tell us why we got them wrong?
Well, again, it's just a comparison of all the different options we have, and I like Gonzaga over a lot of these teams based on the fact they beat Alabama in Birmingham. It goes on the team sheet as a neutral win, but that A is against the number one team on our board. B is in their home state, not exactly a neutral game. They also beat Xavier, who's the contender to be on this first 16 on a neutral court, and Michigan State, which is about the most damage you could ask for. For a team from the West Coast Conference, obviously 3-4 in Q1 is not exactly optimal, but all their other measurables, besides the Q3 loss, of course, at home to LMU, comes out pretty favorable to be either a top three seed or one of the best four seeds, just averaging out on at 14 on both sides, the resume side and on the predictive sides. Plus, their strength of schedule is top seven in the country. Everything else, they're over 500 in and playing good basketball as a whole. So that's why I've got them a little bit higher.
Yeah, they can even up that quad one record also if they beat St. Mary's on the 25th. So there's right. that big chance ahead here.
And they'll be favored, of course, at home.
That does complete our Sweet 16. Real quick here, Titel and Dorm first then Dorman. Any surprises here? Anybody that you think was really left out, or do you think we kind of got the 16 teams, even though you may not agree with the order?
I could argue for an Indiana, although they just lost. I could argue for a St. Mary's, but I won't. I think this is great. I love the possible rematches in terms of Alabama, UConn, Tennessee, Arizona, a Big 12 game in Kansas, Iowa State. I love just the matchups we got here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dorman, same question.
I could argue for a Miami, as well as I agree with Titel's Indiana team. I would love the regional final, Kansas against Arizona, a West final of a Texas showdown, Houston versus the Longhorns. That would be fantastic. There's some great matchups we have set here.
Yeah. Take a quick moment here to welcome Mike Cha to the show. He just joined us here. Mike, we just finished revealing our top 16 teams. We wanted to take a look at that and get a little caught up here. I'm going to reveal the five seeds as well as you do that and start asking a few questions about these four teams. But all four teams at once, we're going to mention a couple of teams that three of the four we just mentioned as possible protected seeds. We got Miami coming in there in Orlando. We got St. Mary's in the East region there playing in Albany. Not a little bit of a road trip for St. Mary's in this tournament, the way things worked out. Indiana in there and TCU the fourth. And TCU is a team that somebody who was on this podcast, who thankfully not with us tonight, actually argued them a few weeks ago to be a one seed. Wrongly argued them to be a one seed. But but Stalika, how about this TCU team really going in the wrong direction now outside of the Sweet 16?
Again, I think it's going to be the injury question with a TCU that we're going to keep bringing up, with them not being able to win, it seems, without Mike Miles. They're probably going to fall even further if they're not able to right the ship in Big 12 play. Thankfully, when the NCAA tournament comes, at least they'll be able to probably see a few fresh faces in the field, probably give them a little bit of an edge, whereas the Big 12 seems to be a little more familiar with their tendencies.
Well, Titel, what about Miles' chance of playing here with Oklahoma State coming in this weekend?
I heard that he could be there. God knows they need him, losing four in a row. Granted, when your four losses are to teams in the top 30 with three of them on the road, they're certainly excusable, even more so with the injury. But, like, if any team needs a player healthy, it's probably Xavier and Fremantle, but a close number two is TCU and Miles.
But I think one of the differences here is at least the Musketeers did beat Providence without Fremantle. Granted, that was at home.
True. Rocco,
just how about these? Mike Cha got here in time, right in perfect time for the Michigan review.
Unless you mean Michigan's
coming up any second.
Michigan's coming up. We'll keep waiting for Michigan.
I don't do an IT
perfect
bracket.
Time.
I don't do an IT bracket, Dorman.
Real quick, Rocco, these other three teams in this line, Miami, St. Mary's, Indiana, we did mention them a little bit as potential protected seeds, but your thoughts on any of those three, or all three of them, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, I had Indiana as a protected seed Monday, but of course they fell late
nice rally, but fell short against Northwestern right after that came out. And then, you know, I am impressed with Miami, and I'm going to do a deeper dive on. I think for me, the last spot in the top 16 will be between Miami and the Cyclones. Very different profiles. Again, a Big 12 team gets tons of data. Miami only gets a few cracks, but man, they've looked unbelievable lately. Regardless of where they're seated, I think they're a sleeper Final Four team, just with the amount of talent they have and the amount of confidence they're building. But yeah, I think, you know, their net, so it's been a little bit lower throughout the year. Some of the power numbers have been a little bit lower, but Miami is finally starting to flex some muscle in their final scores.
Okay.
I do think there are some trap games coming up next week for the Hurricanes. Virginia Tech on the road. It's hard to win at the Castle, and as bad as Florida State has been this year, they love nothing more than to wreck the Hurricanes' perfect season at home.
Yeah, they'll also have Wake Forest soon as well, and that's going to be a very desperate Wake Forest team that has to get that win.
So believe it or not, I am impressed by Miami's win at North Carolina, because it is tough to win there.
Very tough.
One thing North Carolina can do right usually is to win at home, and Miami just won convincingly. So that impressed me.
Exactly. I'm with you, Mike.
St. Mary's, the Gales, you kind of shot, I think I'm getting into that, into those top 16. They also struggled with Loyola Marymount. Loyola Marymount has beaten both the Zags and the Gales this year now, but still not enough for Loyola Marymount to be in our field, but by any means. But they have the home win over Gonzaga. They've beaten San Diego State, but multiple losses to teams that are not inside the field here. So at this point, it's a little bit rough. Absent a win at Gonzaga, I think, on February 25th, which would completely change the profile again. Let's go ahead, though, and pull up the sixth line here. Tytel, let me start with you. We see Northwestern, Creighton, Rutgers, and Illinois, and the three out of four of these teams are from the Big Ten in this line.
Finally, I mean, we got to get – I remember, I think, a week ago, a lot of people had Northwestern on, like, the eight line, and I was like, whoa, that's way too high. They earned it. Like, this is a very good spot to have them. And for the academics in the crowd, the Virginia Northwestern game is the game for you. I like the Tennessee Rutgers matchup. A couple of very tough defensive minded teams. I defer to Chaz to who will pull that out on offense, but I like the defensive game in that one.
Rutgers has no offense. So I think it's, and if we go by Rutgers' last game against Nebraska, they have no defense either. So I don't know what's going on here. But Mike, you are a Big Ten guy. What are your thoughts, especially on, you know, the way that Northwestern is playing and the way that Illinois is, you know, been a little bit up and down, just coming off a loss to Penn State, but still has some pretty impressive wins on their profile too.
Yeah, I'm good with this one. I actually had Iowa as a six, but I also had Rutgers as first of the seven, so that's fine with me. It's kind of like splitting hairs, but this sounds just about right. I like John Tytel said, Northwestern certainly has earned their way up the sixth seed, and I think they're basically all but a lock to make the NCAA tournament. You beat Purdue, you beat Indiana, you've earned it.
Yeah. Real quick here, Stalika, the other Big East team, the one non Big Ten team here is Creighton. They did finally lose a game, but they've just been so hot that I don't know that we take too much away from the loss at Providence in double overtime.
Yeah, it did take a couple overtimes, but that snapped an 8-game winning streak for the Blue Jays right here. They don't want to get caught looking ahead when they're playing at St. John's this weekend. That game against Marquette is going to be looming huge, because if the Blue Jays can win that one, and if Xavier were to lose at Providence, for example, Creighton could also sneak back into possibly getting the number one seed in the Big East like they were projected to do at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. I think this Creighton team is Final Four talented. They struggled right out of the gate. They weren't fully healthy, but things are starting to click. Their offense is just really, really strong. If they can lock down on defense and get some big stops towards the end of the game, this team can go to the Final Four.
Hey, here, has the show started yet?
No, it hasn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we got something going on here. I don't know what that was, but okay.
Well, it wasn't me, Chad. I just joined.
Oh, okay. We got Joby on the screen here now. That must be what it was. We got voices coming everywhere here. Let's bring Joby.
Was that Greg's one phone call from prison?
I think it might have been.
Was that puppet love?
I don't know what the heck that was, but Joby Fortson joining us as well. Joby, I'll give you a minute.
I love what you guys done. I think Northwestern's a six is an inspired choice.
Absolutely. After what they did, I think we were just saying how much that team is there. But Joby, while you get caught up looking at what else we did here, let's go ahead and pull up the 7-line. Rocco, let me go back to you. We see here the Iowa team that we just mentioned, along with San Diego State, Duke, and Providence.
Interesting. I think Iowa probably gets there now for me with Florida Atlantic's loss tonight. And then I had them just wrote right below. And I can see the case for Providence as well. Obviously, the Creighton home win was good. I don't think Providence has done a lot on the road. My only issue there, I think the only team I have above, let me pull up your bracket one more time. Did you say Duke is on that line?
We got Duke, San Diego State, along with Iowa and Providence on this line. Yes.
Yeah, I do have Auburn above Iowa and Providence, but pretty close between the three.
Yeah, Providence did just get the big win, double overtime win over Creighton. Iowa, as we record this, is up big on Ohio State to look at another volume of win here, which is something they kind of need at 16-9. What about these other two teams? Joby, I gave you time to talk about the Mountain West on Monday night. So, Salika, what about you on the San Diego State team here? Do they really belong this high?
There's no one else in the Mountain West that would even come close right here. Utah State winning on the road is about the only justification you could have for them wearing white right here. I hope for your sake you didn't see what they did on the road at Fresno State, where they came within eye of a needle to taking a potential tier 4 or tier 3 loss right here.
It's a powerful 45-43 win. That's the down in tier 3. That's all it is. Mike, the fourth team up here is Duke, and you were not here at the beginning of the show when we blind resume Duke, and they were declared a bubble team by everybody that looked at them on a blind resume. But does Duke really belong up here with two road wins at BC and at Georgia Tech?
You had Duke as a 7.
Duke is a 7 in this field. Yep.
In a vacuum, no. But once you get toward the 7 and 8s, it's like it's slim picking. So it's like somebody's got to be a 7 seed.
Well, let me ask somebody who was on here at the beginning, Titel, have you changed your mind on Duke after what you saw in the blind resume at the start of the show?
No, I think I had them right around this spot.
Okay. Well, I think my argument was I personally had them like 3 seed lines lower. I think I even had them lower than Griggs had them, honestly.
I just like that. So we've played Duke. The Cats have 9 times, I believe, in their history. The last 4 were in neither Tucson nor Durham. New York City, Anaheim, Minneapolis, and Hawaii. Ironically, though, this is a perfect entree because they just announced last summer that they're doing a home-and-home series starting in 2023. So we're going to get to see them 3 times in like a little over a year now.
Yeah, Joby, if you have a chance to take a look here. And,
Chad, I think one of the reasons why a blind resume also with Duke might be a tad misleading is the fact that you have the nice home win of Pittsburgh and North Carolina State at home. Well, those are only tier 2, but those are 2 teams that I would not be surprised pop up in the next line. They are better than their net, so to speak. I think Pitt's net of 49 is a joke. You know,
home, they didn't beat NC State. They beat North Carolina. They actually lost their game to NC State.
Okay. I think you have misleading nets, just like, you know, my favorite conference has misleading nets the other way. So you've got to sometimes break down. Hey, beating the Musketeers is a damn good win, and not the type of win a bubble team gets either. How they did it.
Not to mention that was a healthy Xavier team that Duke beat at the time.
Saying they're world beaters, but 7-8 seed is perfectly fine for them.
Let's go ahead and pull up the 8-line here. I have no idea who I'm up to, but what we see here is Missouri, Oklahoma State, Michigan State, and Florida Atlantic. Again, this was before FAU's loss tonight. But let's start with those other 3 teams at least here. Rocco, Missouri, Oklahoma State, Michigan State. Do we get them about right here?
I think those are, this is about the range for each of these teams. But there's another list of like six that I have that are also in the same tier. It's really hard to differentiate.
It's tough to differentiate to seven, eight, nine, ten. Could really be close. Yeah.
Yeah, I think just in the spirit of what happened tonight, I would probably take. I guess we have to pick on the Owls because they lost, but I'd put Maryland in here now with that Purdue win. Yeah. So that makes that pretty easy. Michigan State, I still have stuck in the 9-10 range, but I'm gonna look at them even closer again overnight tonight before tomorrow's bracket. So I really don't know what to do with the Spartans, and so, you know, there's some things to like, some things not to like.
Yeah,
I'd switch Maryland and Duke in this case. I have Maryland up at 7 and Duke down to 8. That could happen as well.
It's going to give them a nice boost.
Yeah. Great point, Mike. After what happened tonight, I agree with Mike. The Duke-Maryland.
We don't even have Maryland in this field yet, by the way. So I know. They did not show up on this 8 line yet. But Michigan State is in here, and still haven't heard if they're going to be able to reschedule the game that they lost against Minnesota. Not that that would help them. It's only a chance to lose. They will be playing Saturday at Michigan. That game is a go. So they will be back up on the court here. Mike, you being a Michigan guy, you have any thoughts on Michigan State?
It's a good team. It's not a great team. They're tough to beat at the Braz. On the road, maybe not so much, although, I mean, technically they had a nice win at Ohio State, but now we see how Ohio State's doing. And
Joby, did we get Missouri right? They did win at Tennessee. It's one of the better wins of anybody in the nation all season.
Missouri was the team that, you know, and we've already, I don't want to be broken record too much, but, you know, these teams are tightly packed here. Missouri, I have at the top end of this 7-10 logjam, precisely because I love that road win at Tennessee, and, you know, Tennessee, then the transitive property of Alabama soon after. I think, but it's also, you know, early in the season, the neutral court win over Illinois. That is a nice, solid win, and that's where they are. They are right at where Illinois is. They have no bad losses. I mean, you know, you could argue Florida. That they should have, that you don't like the Florida loss on the road. But besides that, but everybody has something like that when you combine it with some outstanding work, such as the road and neutral win they have sitting right there in tier one.
Let's go ahead and we're going to start seeing some first round.
And Iowa State, who's a protected seed, a 4 seed. Let's not forget that either.
We see some potential first-round matchups showing up here. Tytel, I'm going to reveal the 9-line. We've got Maryland, who we just discussed, and we already discussed with their win at home over Purdue tonight. Should probably move up here, along with Pittsburgh, Auburn, and NC State. I think Auburn, we mentioned a few lines ago. They didn't get in here till the 9-line, though.
Yeah, congrats, Bruce Pearl. All you got to do is beat Tom Izzo and Bill Self in the same weekend. Good luck with that. I feel bad for FAU. I think I like their chances against NC State, but playing Houston is not quite a reward for having the season of your life. And I agree with Joby. I think Pitt is a lot better than their Nets. And Jeff Capel has a nice little history in the tournament. So I think I might pick him to pull off the 8-9 upset. Not that 8-9 is a huge upset.
Yes, Talika, what about this Auburn team, though, that we put in here? I think Rocco mentioned them a couple lines ago. I think, Rocco, you actually had them highest rated of everybody, or tied with Matt for highest rated. Did we underseed Auburn here, throwing them down the 9-line?
You could probably say there's a little bit of a recency bias by not really taking into account a sizable Missouri win at home. Prior to that, though, their best win had been on the neutral court in Cancun against a Northwestern, which people are probably just now getting their vision back from that game right there. They still have a decent win at home against Arkansas back in January, and they'll still have chances to at least get some decent roadkill on their schedule. Alabama, though, that's going to be a pretty tall order, but if they can get that one, that's going to be a lot of credit.
Their seed may depend on these last three regular season games at Kentucky and Alabama, home against Tennessee. That is.
And Vandy is no picnic either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been knocking teams off lately. Absolutely. NC State and Pitt, we kind of discussed them a little bit earlier, but let's go ahead and jump on down to the 10 line here. Dorman, Iowa gets Texas A&M. San Diego State gets West Virginia. Duke gets Nevada, another Mountain West team. Joby doesn't like it. And Arkansas in as well here on the 10 line.
I don't like it only because you're giving Duke a win.
I don't know if we will. That's one of the worst games I see in the first round, yeah. I think, Duke-Nevada. Go ahead, Dorman.
Steve Alford there might have a few ideas for Shire. West Virginia will be able to hang with San Diego State. That game will be a defensive battle from start to finish. Nothing easy there. I'm a little surprised West Virginia came into the bracket at this point. I had them a seed line lower, I believe. Obviously not that big of a difference. But again, this is this our ninth team, Chad, from the Big 12?
It feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's close.
It's a seventh.
They're all going to be discussed. The tenth team.
It's the eighth Big 12 team. Yes, it is. It is the eighth Big 12 team we've already put in out of 10 teams in the conference. And Rocco, I got to ask you here. 4-9 in conference, they have more than twice as many Tier 1 losses as they have wins. Yet so many people have them in, and I think I was one of them. And I think you had them within your field at least, maybe not this high.
Yeah, it's going to definitely be a deeper evaluation for me. I've got them penciled into the first four right now. They're back to playing that 500 game. They were safely above. Now they go on the road and lose two more. And that's kind of what they're up against. You know, they're going to take likely another loss in the Big 12 tournament. And you look at the remaining schedule, they got to go to Hilton Magic. They got to go to the Fog. Those are probably two losses. Obviously, if they get one of those two, things really significantly change, because right now their best road win is at Pitt. And so that's a big difference if they get one of those two. Otherwise, if they play this 500 game where they get a couple of these at home and they lose their road games, I don't know how they get out of this perpetual state of going back and forth.
Yeah, 15-11 right now. It is not easy at all.
And if you want to do a deeper dive, it's 1-10 against Tier 1A and 4-1 against Tier 1B.
Quit picking on North Carolina.
Oh, Tytel, we had Texas A&M on this line here coming in. Actually cracked the top 25 of the coaches poll this week. I just noticed that. But A&M, are they a tournament team now? They've just been winning a lot of games, but they still have, you know, don't have those marquee wins, or maybe they do now. I don't know.
Tale of two seasons. They lost at home to Wofford right before Christmas. They were 6-5. I was ready to throw in the towel. All they've done since then is go 13-2 with road losses at Kentucky and Arkansas. They just beat Arkansas at home. Get on Uncle Buzz's bus. And remember, if you think that he cannot coach in the postseason, Stalika, remind me, how close was Texas A&M to winning a championship last spring?
A three-point shot that went in and out of the rim. And that was after Jack Nungy hit the game winner at the last NIT at the Garden, I might add.
Real quick, I'll go through the other two profiles on this line here, Nevada and Arkansas. These are the other two teams that got in here. You know, this Arkansas team has been up and down. Now two straight losses after they were trending towards the top half of the bracket.
Yeah.
Really got to bounce back with Florida and Georgia coming up at home in the next two games, especially with those last three games on the schedule there, Dorman.
Exactly what I was going to point out. Because you got to finish at Alabama, at Tennessee, and then senior day home against Kentucky. I agree, Chad. You better get Florida and Georgia at home. Now Castleton is out for Florida. So Arkansas should handle the next two opponents and keep this, if this is what they want to call safe territory, make sure they take the next two.
I'm going to reveal only two of the teams from the 11 line right now. These are the last two teams to avoid the first four. Pair of SEC teams, Mississippi State and Kentucky. Kentucky team that on the blind resume at the start of the show, everyone thought Duke and Kentucky were fairly even. Duke solidly in. Kentucky barely avoided the first four here. But Mike, let me ask you here, your thoughts on both these teams, Mississippi State and Kentucky.
Kentucky certainly helped themselves with a road win at Mississippi State. And I had Mississippi State at 42, so 11 is just about right. Kentucky, I had them basically near the cut line, but so I don't have a big problem with them being at 11. But yeah, thank goodness for Kentucky that they did win at Mississippi State. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the field.
Right. And we talked about at the top of the show when we did the blind resume, Joby, that win at Mississippi State really changes this Kentucky profile and makes it a little more palatable suddenly.
I agree 100%. You know, the SEC has done themselves a big favor on their bubble play, because Arkansas was kind of safely in. Well, they can afford to give a loss to Uncle Buzz, you know. And so all of a sudden you have a lot of really attractive SEC resumes, Kentucky being one of them, Mississippi State with their win recently, even with the loss to Kentucky. They all these SEC teams, yeah, I think they'll lose to each other. So one will probably fall out. But right now they're taking advantage of the opportunities that teams like Oregon and and Clemson and some of these others that are not taking advantage of those opportunities. Those SEC teams are stepping into the breach. Give them credit for now. Like I said, don't think all of them will survive till the end of the day. One of them will fall off. But for now, I am 100% fine with all of those bubble teams being in right now from the Southeastern Conference.
Ty Tell, I'm going to reveal Rutgers' first-round opponent. It's a first-four winner for you. It is the winner of a game between Memphis and North Carolina. Your thoughts on those two teams? Do they really belong in here? And should they be in the first four?
Well, Memphis is about 90 seconds from not being in. We'll see how that goes for them. And Carolina certainly is lacking some tier one, but luckily no tier three or tier four losses. I think that even without Mag, I think I would favor Rutgers heavily against either of these teams.
Yeah,
Memphis has opportunity ahead because they have Houston twice, home and home. So
they do, and as John mentioned, they are obviously looking past Central Florida tonight to that game at Houston because they are trailing with a couple minutes left here, according to my scoreboard at least.
They already lost to UCF. Why would they overlook it again?
I don't know. It was actually a game that was swept. Rocco,
I think UCF might get back in the bubble if they win this.
Rocco, our last.
If they win, they're 16-9.
Our last two teams, Crane's potential first-round opponent in the East region there, it is Boise State and USC. I will throw this out there.
Relieved.
I'm going to throw this out there. Actually, we had Boise State ranked over North Carolina as a very, very closely as a panel here. Boise and Memphis met in the first round last year, so there had to be a minor switch there. Carolina moving up one spot on the seed list, Boise moving down one. But your thoughts on Boise State and USC, you know, is this a real hold your nose here?
a little bit. I think, you know, for the last couple of weeks straight, because Boise just hasn't played anybody that moves the needle, and they keep winning barely. They won by two yesterday against Colorado State on the road. You know, it's not losing, so it helps. But I think Boise's got a profile where, you know, you look at their predictive metrics have been pretty strong most of the year. At least Ken Pom's holding them up in the top 30. But their resume, there's more to be desired. And as, you know, teams like New Mexico fall apart, it gets a little bit harder and harder. We already know about the Charlotte and South Dakota State losses that have been there for a long time. So for me, just based on the other options, Boise State does feel like a Dayton team, and they have for like two straight weeks. As for USC, obviously the loss against very much improved Oregon State team still coming in at 212. Probably nobody will pay attention to them nationally anymore, but they've got some really good freshmen. Could be good next year. But USC taking that loss is brutal. I think they're right on the cut line. That UCLA win and the Auburn win really carrying them up afloat, but no better road wins than at ASU, who's not a tournament team right now. So USC hanging on for dear life, but I do have them as like my last team in. So I'm
Arizona State just suffered a home loss to Colorado tonight, so that may not be a tier one win for much longer either here for USC.
And they're going to play them again as well coming up. So
Boise State
sure
season.
Colorado is a tier two. So hey.
Sorry, Dorman.
I was just saying, I think Boise's season will be told with these three games, home to New Mexico, at San Jose State, home to San Diego State. I think that'll tell us everything.
Stalika, the top four teams out before we get to the rest of the field here. These are the four teams that were the closest to making it, were in this order, Wisconsin, Clemson, New Mexico, Seton Hall. Is there any of these four that you think that we really screwed up and should have been in over one of these teams?
You really want me to make a case for Wisconsin right here when they're losing to teams like Nebraska on the road? Now, granted, they did get a win at home against Michigan. Still,
the that's Badgers an NIT had, team, though.
And that's true. The Badgers had been going completely in the wrong direction here, losing at Northwestern to home. Not advisable, but understandable given how Northwestern's been playing of late. Now that Wake Forest game, which doesn't seem like a tier three, but then again, that could be a tier two because that net is very borderline right there for the Badgers.
Yeah, that's 15 and 10 overall. It's tough for me to say that this is a Wisconsin team. And if you look at our next step here, Tytel, it's Clemson with three horrible losses on the profile.
I might need a couple different hands to hold my nose for this one. I mean, certainly like winning at Pitt is fantastic, but yeah, we are getting into the trenches here, Chad. I don't know if we need
to. The non-conference strength of schedule for Clemson.
Yeah.
New Mexico has been going completely the wrong way. Seton Hall, not that great of a record. Real quick, I'll show other teams actually received some votes to be not in the field, but at least among the top 55, so about among the top 5 to 8 teams out, included Oregon, Arizona State, Penn State, Utah State, Wake Forest, North Texas, Utah, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, Michigan. There's very little to like in there at all. Michigan, somebody liked them in their top 55, Mike. I don't even think it was you. But
it wasn't me.
I can tell you who that was, actually. It was
me.
It was Joby. Joby, you liked them in your top 55.
I have them at number 55. So there you go.
Is there a new category called close losses? Michigan would be number one, you know?
I might add, the J&G has them at 55, too.
I will throw one team out here that, Tytel, you and I both listed our top 55. It's a very interesting profile. That's Texas Tech, another Big 12 team. Fascinating game at West Virginia because if they can win that, they can win in Oklahoma, they win those two home games, I think they got a very interesting profile heading into the Big 12 tournament suddenly.
They do. Another team that's dealing with injuries, Fardaz Imak is back, but he missed a ton of the season. Pop Isaacs, who played most of the season, is now out. Daniel Bacho is hurt. So when healthy, I think this team can make it. But, man, like they got to get some training staff working double time out in Texas Tech.
Yeah, they really can't afford – I mean, other than the game at Kansas, they've got to win them all and probably need a win in the Big 12 tournament. But if it's a doable road, I'll put it that way, for this team. A little shout-out to my Texas Tech friends.
I'll give you one more team, Chad, I don't think is just dead yet. Yeah. Wake Forest. Wake Forest has an opportunity in the next weekend. They get Miami and NC State. This team has really some very good basketball players. Coach Forbes does a great job. I love the way they play offense. I don't think they're done yet.
Applebee will, a little lonely. To Dorman's point, Applebee will most likely win Player of the Year in the ACC.
Eating good in the neighborhood.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah. I think it's worth noting Wake Forest has not lost in February yet.
There
you go. They also haven't played defense, and they got to start doing that.
I'm going to go ahead and reveal the rest of the bracket here one line at a time. These are the we talked about all these teams last night in the Under the Radar podcast, and some of them since we built this bracket did lose tonight, but at least heading into the day we had College of Charleston, VCU, Drake, and Oral Roberts being our 12 seeds. The 13 line here, UConn's opponent is Southern Miss, a team that last time I looked was down big tonight, and I think they did lose. I think they are still leading that conference, but I don't know if they're still a 13 seed or not. Kent State against Xavier, a little in-state rivalry there, Stalika.
Yeah, there is some familiarity with the teams because I think the Golden Flashes actually did visit Cintas the previous year, so they're not going to be unfamiliar with the Golden Flashes personnel right here.
Liberty going up against Iowa State. Liberty, another team that did lose tonight, no longer in first place in their conference, but heading into the night, they were there. Utah Valley, the WAC leader over there playing Gonzaga.
Just comment on the 13s and 12s. Yeah. I would put almost all those 13s above VCU. I'd have VCU on the 13 line because Utah Valley's got a great resume. Kent State and Liberty have amazing metrics.
I think when I did that, I projected out a lot of wins here for VCU, which I think they're going to get. And if they don't get them, they fall. So,
gotcha. Okay.
14 line.
Roberts held on by three. They won.
Yeah. Nice. At the 14 line, we got Yale going up against Virginia, UC Santa Barbara against K-State, Iona coming in against Tennessee, Eastern Washington coming in against Marquette there on the 14 line. 15 line, real quick, Vermont is Baylor's opponent, UNC Asheville is UCLA's opponent, Northwestern State is Arizona's opponent. They've knocked off a few teams this year, so a little scary right. opponent there, Tytel. And Colgate going up against Texas. 16 line, Alabama plays Youngstown State, the Penguins. Dominating win tonight over Milwaukee to assert themselves in the Horizon League. Purdue gets the winner of a Moorhead State-Alcorn State game. Kansas gets a Samford team. And Houston gets the winner of a Howard-Fairleigh-Dickinson game. Ran into the protected seed rule while building this. Samford was not allowed to play in Birmingham. That would be against the rules. They had to move out to Des Moines. There's our bracket, though. One more through each of you now. Any other final thoughts on this, on anything else we'll do with college basketball? Anything at all? And Stalika, let me start with you.
I feel like I should defer to Rocco for part of this thought right here, but Oregon was looking to get a win at Washington, which actually turned out to be their only matchup this year. That got delayed for about 30 to 40 minutes because of some clock issues with one of the basket supports at the HEC last night, or the Alaska Airlines Center. So not something Oregon was hoping to run into, and now they're pretty much going to have to win the Pac-12 tournament to really have a shot themselves at an NCAA bid.
That was a heck of a moment there. Oregon players actually helping get the basket back up too. It was an interesting scene. But Rocco, I know you got to leave soon, so I'll go to you next in case you have to jump out of here.
I had some correspondence at the arena last night, actually, and apparently Oregon had caused that damage themselves during warm-ups. Wow. So that explains the players helping to try to fix the problem. But great win for the Huskies. Shout out. They haven't had a lot of great games this year, but a couple of the freshmen, Corn Johnson and Keon Menifield Jr., all 130 pounds of him, went for 27. And it was an electric atmosphere for once, probably because the rival was in town. But good win for them. Hopkins was fired up. Sounds like he'll keep his job. So the guy just keeps saving. He has 10 lives. It's unbelievable. But on the bracket itself, great exercise. It's very – very valuable. The bigger the group we can get on a Thursday, or even when we get to the mock committee, it helps all of us, I think, just have a better understanding what the different opinions are on these teams. And I always appreciate the experience. And I think we actually, this came out really close to what I would have expected. So I don't think we're too far off right now.
I think it's a pretty nice bracket, honestly, because I keep looking at this top four teams out and, I can't see where we messed up. Mike.
Yeah, I think the bracket's well done. I think it's pretty much in line from what I had based on my seed list. And I think that it seems like it's a solid bracket. We know to keep in mind that there's always an average about two bid thieves. So I look at the 11 line, Boise State, USC, Memphis, North Carolina. It seems like on average, two of those teams will be bumped out by auto bid thieves. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to point out, I think it was actually Rocco that pointed it out, is a team to potentially watch for is Utah. I don't know how they're doing tonight, but that's a team that could gain the most because they have the Arizona schools and the LA schools. They could really jump up. That's a big if, but.
Yeah. I think, and Mike, your Michigan Wolverines, I think Michigan and Utah have the most to gain, and then a splash of Wake Forest with their next two games. But Michigan, if you count Wisconsin as a tournament team, all of their games are against the field. So if Utah or Wolverines get hot, I mean, it's going to change a lot.
And we could probably use a team to get hot to save us from the bottom of this bracket. Dorman.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised with the exercise in the beginning, Chad, because this bracket with the blind resume, because when I was working with the 6 to 11 seeds, I was really – it's really tough because there's so many resumes that look similar, putting teams here and then you bump them down. So that Duke-Kentucky exercise really showed you how close these teams are, because like you said, Duke is safely in. They have been for a few weeks when we've done the bracket rundown, and Kentucky is on half our ballots and half of us have them out. So it's that razor thin, these last four or five games for each of these teams. So important.
Just a quick score update here. Memphis
did pull out
the win. Yeah. They get to stay in the field. Joby.
Two comments. One, Florida Atlantic with their loss tonight. I have the capability to, through the JNG, to do just a quick analysis of, okay, how far do they fall? You know, the fall that the JNG, just for your information, has them falling to 43 on the seed line. That's an 11 seed.
That's that low, yeah.
That is still within, though, the magic number for all everybody out there. And it's pretty clear, as long as Florida Atlantic, ironically, is the team that will determine if it gets greater or bigger, is 46. 46, because there are 36 at-larges and 10 conference leaders right now that are inside the bubble. 46 is that number. So 43, they're still in it, and they're in the play-in game right now. And that's, you know, if they take another loss, maybe to North Texas, who's now a top 50 net, does it, if it's on a neutral court, you know, it's only a tier one loss, maybe they maintain it. But they are right on the edge. I wouldn't play around if I'm Florida Atlantic. I do everything I can, because only a North Texas loss do I see maybe them still getting that at large going forward. And then the final thought I'll have is on the bracket itself. Wow, the SAT scores that sit with Virginia, Yale, and Northwestern. Regional in Greensboro right there.
what's going on with Mississippi State does not belong there, do they?
One of these is not like the others.
But
Mississippi State's very uncomfortable.
Mike, that says very much. I think your Michigan Wolverines need to join us and get off the bubble and get into the field and join us. All right, that'd be one heck of a region.
I want to make a motion.
35 minutes
right
long, here. Michigan would be in the field, but unfortunately, a game is 40 minutes long.
I want to make a motion right here that we at least replace Mississippi State with Mississippi, so at least we get a team from Oxford in that sub-region.
Tytel, you want to finish us off here?
I do. Two things that caught my eye. I forget if somebody mentioned it earlier, but the Shaka Smart's Marquette, Texas game could be fantastic out in Vegas if they both make it that far, his current team and his former team. And then the favors we are not doing for Alabama. You're giving them Birmingham, Chad, which I'm sure they'll appreciate, but having to face a UConn team who beat them early this year at a neutral site by 15, and then they get either the 2019 national champ in Tony Bennett or the 2021 national champion Scott Drew. Good luck, Nate Oates.
All right. On that note, you can check out the bracket again down below if you want to look at it afterwards. But I do want to thank everybody for joining us. Let's go pull this down here. And on behalf of David Dorman, John Tytel, John Stalica, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org, Mike Cha, Joey Fortson, shout out to Matt Zukowski, and half a shout out to David Griggs for submitting seedlets as well to us tonight. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.